So weird seeing you all right here in the middle. So glad you're with us this morning. I hope you're planning on coming tonight to our Holy Ghost Wiener Roast. We actually do have hot dogs. We also have face painting right over there. I will paint your face free of charge. So I would love to have you. I think it's 5:30, right? Starts at 5:30 to 8, I believe. So come on, and we'll see you tonight, and bring your neighbors, and give them an opportunity to come to church, see what we're all about, and see how much fun we have together, and invite them back, hear about Jesus, and hopefully hear about Jesus tonight. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 10, we've been studying the seven I am statements that Jesus made in the Gospel of John. And last week, and we started in John chapter 10, we were introduced to one of the ongoing analogies in the scriptures that the Bible uses to describe us, humans, and that is sheep. And I suggested tongue-in-cheek that maybe we're called sheep because, you know, we're so cute. And yet I'm pretty sure that's not right. They are cute, I think. They have a smell about them, but they're cute. They have value. They're useful. And I won't speak for you. I'll just speak for me this morning when I say that of all the analogies that God uses to describe me, this is my least favorite. I don't like being called a sheep. And the reason is because sheep are completely defenseless. They are weak. They are slow. They have bad eyesight. They're terribly skittish and anxious and worrisome. They are none too bright. They're prone to go astray and get lost. And they're very stubborn. And actually, when I think about it, that's a pretty good description of me. And I'm stubborn, and not because it's in my nature, my own personality. I'm not a stubborn type person. I'm stubborn because I'm not nearly as smart as I think I am. I think I know what I need. I think I know where I should go. I think I have common sense, but I'm prone to make decisions based on fear and based on worry rather than on faith. And I like to think that I'm not weak, and yet I realize that maybe I'm pretty strong compared to other sheep, but you put me in the ring with a wolf, I'm in trouble. And so the real reason it came to me as I was thinking about why I don't want to be called a sheep, and actually have had people leave the church, not necessarily this church, but someone told me once that they left the faith because they didn't want to be a sheep. And the real reason we don't like being called a sheep is because it's an admission that we need a shepherd. That's what we don't want to admit. We don't want to admit we need help, that we're helpless without a shepherd, that we're in danger out on our own. And so it's a good thing for us then, in this fourth I am saying that Jesus said in the Gospel of John, it's a good thing that he tells us he's the good shepherd. And so we're going to read it together this morning. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11, it says, I'm the good shepherd. This is Jesus talking. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired man, since he's not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, he leaves them. And he runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because the hired man, because he is a hired man and he doesn't care about the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. As the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. And I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. So the first thing that we see about this statement when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, is not only that Jesus uses that analogy of being a shepherd, he qualifies it. He says, I'm a good shepherd. And the Greek word there, good, is the word that describes not necessarily a moral goodness. Jesus is obviously morally good. But he's talking, the Greek word there describes a model or an ideal. So he says, I'm the perfect shepherd. I'm the ideal shepherd. I'm the model shepherd. And we know, if you were here last week at the beginning of John chapter 10, we know what Jesus is doing. He's contrasting himself, comparing and contrasting himself to the bad shepherds of Israel. And so when he shows us what the bad shepherds were doing, he mentions that they were like thieves and robbers that had snuck into the sheepfold. They climbed over the fence. They didn't go through the gate. Those are the bad ones. Jesus compares himself to them, contrasts himself to them, and shows us what a good one was. Those bad shepherds in Israel were the Sadducees and the Pharisees and Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of the day that had been charged with leading the people to God. But they weren't doing a good job. And we know this because of what Jesus says here, but we knew ahead of time that this was coming. Ezekiel chapter 34. Many years before in the Old Testament, Ezekiel the prophet warned Israel. This is what he says. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and has been plundered and become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock but cared for themselves rather than my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and I will no longer and it will no longer be food for them. And the Lord continues in verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. Now, the moment Jesus says to these Pharisees and Sadducees, I am the good shepherd, they knew exactly what he was talking about. They know the prophecy in Ezekiel 34. And they know that Jesus is saying they're the bad shepherds. They're the ones that have failed to take care of the flock. They're the ones that have failed to look for the flock that's gotten lost. They're the ones that have been feeding off the flock. They've been eating their own flock. They've been becoming wealthy, manipulating the people of Israel. And Jesus is telling them at this moment, you're fired. The bad shepherds are gone. God says in verse 11, I am going to look after them myself. Jesus says, I am that good shepherd. The shepherd that God promised many years ago is here, and it's me. So I want to contrast here the difference between the good and the bad shepherds, and so you can see all the goodness that Jesus is. The first thing we notice as we read this about Jesus as a good shepherd is that the good shepherd owns the flock. Now, what's interesting, of course, we just read in Ezekiel chapter 34 that God the Father says of the flock that it's his flock. So this is the Father's flock. We're talking about Israel. Right? That's the flock. That's God's flock. Israel is God's flock. But Jesus says in this passage in verse 14, he calls these my own sheep. We read it last week. He calls them my sheep. We'll see it again in different places today. So that Jesus has somehow taken ownership of this flock. How does he do it? Well, we're told in two ways. Number one, the Father gave it to him. He gave Jesus, the flock. Look at verses 26 through 30. He says, he's talking to the Pharisees, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. So Jesus owns the flock because the Father said, Jesus, here's the flock. The flock's been given to Jesus. He's the good shepherd. But we also know that Jesus owns the flock because he's purchased the flock. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Verse 17. This is why the Father loves me, because I'm laying down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I received this command from my Father. So Jesus not only has been given the flock by the Father, but he's also purchased the flock with his own life. He's laid his life down for the sheep. When we become a part of Jesus' flock, when we become a child of God, Paul reminds us, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. You know what the price was? It was Jesus' life on the cross. When he died and took our place, he paid for our sin. He didn't have to pay. He wasn't forced to pay. He reminds us, I did it willingly. It was my right to do it. It was my right to refuse it, but I did it because I'm paying the purchase price for these sheep. No one has greater love than this, Jesus said, than to lay his life down for his friends. And that's what Jesus has done. He's purchased us. So that makes Jesus the owner. The owner of the flock has been transferred to him by the Father. He's paid the price to be the owner of the flock. And he is invested in the flock. That means he knows the value of each one of us. But I want you to see the hired hand, the contrast here in verse 12. The hired man, since he's not the shepherd, he doesn't own the sheep. And so he leaves them. And he runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he's a hired man and he doesn't care about the sheep. So the difference between Jesus' care and the bad shepherd's care is that Jesus owns the sheep. And so he's not going to run. The others don't own the sheep. They don't care for the sheep. They care about themselves. And so they turn tail and run when danger comes. And so if you and I are a sheep, and when we came into the pen, to the sheepfold through Jesus, the sermon from last week, then that means we belong to him. He, in a sense, owns us. And if we follow him, we can experience not only the eternal life that he promised us, we read about a moment ago, but also in 10:10, the abundant life, the life that was more than necessary that he gives us. Those belong to us because we belong to him. So the good shepherd owns the sheep. The good shepherd knows the sheep. Look at verse 14 and 15. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay my life down for the sheep. So that biblical word, and you've heard this probably before, the biblical word to know describes an intimacy and a deep understanding. Sometimes it's used as a husband and wife who know each other. Here it's describing a closeness and intimacy that the sheep and the shepherd have with one another. It's not that Jesus knows us in the sense that he recognizes us in a crowd, right? It's the fact that he has an intimate understanding of us. He knows our dreams. He knows our fears. He knows our worries. He knows our hurts. He knows the things that tempt us. He knows the proclivities we have for going astray. He knows everything because we're his sheep. The way a shepherd knows his sheep, Jesus knows us. And I mentioned last week that when you come into the sheepfold, when you come into the pen, you would pass under the shepherd and he would check each sheep for injuries and examine them and make sure that they were okay. He would count them. He also knows them by name. We'll read in a moment. He knows every sheep by name. He knows your name. Jesus says, and this will blow your mind, verse 15, Jesus says, I know you the way I know the Father. And you can know me the way I know the Father, or the way the Father knows me. Now, isn't that crazy? So Jesus knows about us, which of us tend to wander off, which of us tend to find the briar patches, which of us are the most skittish and hide. He knows which of us are slow to follow his commands, which of us are the most stubborn. He knows which of us want to just be near him all the time and nuzzle him. He knows us. And he says, you can know me and I can know you in the same intimacy that I have with the Father. And there's no more intimate relationship in the universe than that. Now that seems impossible, doesn't it? I mean, if you ask me if I can know God in that intimacy, God, the divine, the creator of the universe, the one who's knows everything and all knowledge and all wisdom, that I can know him, it'll boggle the mind. But you can. Someone once asked Albert Einstein's wife, they said, do you understand all of Dr. Einstein's mathematical principles? And she said, no, but I understand Dr. Einstein. And that's the way we can know God. We can't understand everything about him. We can't understand the way he works sometimes. We can't understand why he does one thing and why he does another, or why he doesn't do this or why he doesn't do that. We don't understand all of that, but we can know him. We can have an intimate relationship with him. So when we go to God and read our Bibles, when we go to God in prayer, when we come together and worship together, when we serve others in his name, when we get together in small groups and encourage one another and build each other up, these are the ways we grow in intimacy with God. These are the ways we begin to know him. We see him at work and we do what he does. We minister to others and we get to know him. So he knows, the good shepherd knows his sheep, and we get to know the good shepherd. And then we also notice that he calls the sheep. Look at, go back to our passage from last week, verse 3. It says, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. And they never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from a stranger because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. So Jesus calls his sheep. His sheep recognize his voice and follow him. When shepherds, false shepherds sneak in and call the voice, call the sheep, they won't recognize that voice. Now, I find it interesting that that word shepherd is also used in the ancient world to describe kings and princes and governors and secular leaders as well. They're referred to as shepherds. And a bad shepherd in the ancient world, a bad shepherd would get behind the sheep and push the sheep, would poke the sheep, would prod the sheep, would yell at the sheep, and it makes sheep very anxious, and it makes them very agitated. And I was thinking about that this week, and I believe we live in a world full of poking and prodding, where our so-called shepherds are behind us, pushing us and poking us, and it makes us anxious, and it makes us agitated. Have you seen what's going on in our world today? It's so crazy what is happening all around us. Our country's falling apart. And we're consistently, those that are supposedly leading us from either side, there's no monopoly on moronic behavior. From either side, we're being poked and prodded and pushed. Good shepherd goes in front, calls a name, and leads us out. That's what a good shepherd does. Somebody told me a story about a lady that visited Israel, and she'd been actually studying ancient shepherding practices, and so she was interested to see it and take place firsthand. And so she's watching this man, and he's coming out of the field pushing a group of sheep, and he's behind him, and he's poking them, and he's kicking them, and he's moving them down the field. And so she goes up to him and she says, sir, I'm to understand that a good shepherd goes in front of the sheep and calls the sheep and leads them from the front. Is that not true? And he said, oh, no, ma'am, that's true. Good shepherd will do that. I'm a butcher. Good shepherds lead from the front. Good shepherd goes ahead. Good shepherd calls by name. And the sheep will follow peacefully because there is trust. They know the shepherd. They know how he's led them before, and they know he's going to lead them that way now, and so they follow him out of trust. Jesus leads us that way. He goes in front of us. The word came forward this morning, this very thing that God has already spoken once. Jesus is calling us from out in front and leading us the direction he wants to go, and you and I, as sheep, are called to follow, to have a trust relationship. And so when Jesus says, come and let's go do this, let's go to this place, let's try this ministry, as sheep, we trust him and say, okay. And so we follow his lead. He knows your name. He knows what you need. He knows how to get you there. Now, here's the thing. If you're not being led by the Good Shepherd at this moment in your life. So I want you to think about it. Is Jesus in front of you calling you forward? Calling you by name, leading you somewhere, leading you to do something. If you're not being led by the Good Shepherd at this moment in your life, there are one or two options that I can see are happening. Number one, as Jesus mentioned to the Pharisees in verse 26, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So Jesus' sheep follow him. So if you're not following Jesus, it may simply mean that you're not one of his sheep yet, which is okay. I'll give you the invitation today. The sheep pen door is open. Jesus invites you through the door, and you can become today one of his sheep. In a minute, we're going to close, and we're going to sing a song, and we're going to open the altars. And if that's you for the first time, and you've never given your life to Jesus, then you come down here, kneel before him, and say, God, take my life. That's all you have to say. I give my life to you. And he's calling you right now. He wants to lead you to that place if you've never done that. Now, some of us here, we've already made that decision. Maybe some of us many years ago. We came through the sheepfold. We came through Jesus. We're a part of the fold. But we're not following Jesus because we're simply exhibiting a character trait that sheep are known for, and that is stubbornness. Oh, he's calling us, all right. We hear him calling us. We just don't want to go where he wants us to go. And that might be you today, because it's all of us at some point or other. It's all of us at some point or other every week, probably. And so we were warned about this. Isaiah said in Isaiah 53:6, we all went astray like sheep and we've turned our own way. Right? And so we do it from time to time. So if that's your where you are today, and Jesus is calling you forward, but you're not following him, very simply, kneel before him, repent, and say, Lord, please forgive me. I want to get back on track. It's that simple. But here's the thing, and I don't want you to get offended. I know you're here for feel good. I want to encourage you. So don't get offended at this, but we're sheep, you and I. And we're not that bright. We're sheep. Kind of dumb. We're short-sighted. We think we know what's good for us. We don't. The shepherd does. He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly when we need it. And if we will follow him, if we will hear his voice and follow him when he leads us from the front, then he will lead us, I promise you, to fullness of life, an abundant life, eternal life, more than you could ever expect or create on your own for yourself. Okay, so the Good Shepherd, he calls the sheep. He also cares for the sheep. So we just read in verse 12, I think it was, the hired hand runs away. First sign of danger, a wolf shows up and he's out. He says, well, they don't pay me enough for this. But the Good Shepherd sticks around. Why does he stick around? Because these are his sheep. He owns them. They belong to him. He's already paid a tremendous price to own this flock. And so he's not going anywhere. And so he lays his life down for the sheep. He knows what the sheep need. He goes ahead of them to find the very best pasture. He finds the safest waters for them. You know, when Psalm 23 says he leads me beside quiet waters. You know why he leads them to quiet waters? Because sheep are scared of the sound of a running brook. Ooh, water sound. Like some of y'all when you walked in and said, oh my gosh, the church has been rearranged. I'm sure many people turned around and left. I got text messages when my wife posted a picture. I got text messages within 5 minutes. What is going on? We're scared, but the shepherd goes out in front of us. He finds us the safest waters, the greenest pastures, the best places to lie down. He looks as he leads them out. He watches for holes and ravines that we might fall into. He scans the field for dangerous enemies. He keeps an eye on the ones that are prone to go astray. He's a good shepherd. He cares for us. And the most beautiful description is found in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. You know the psalm. Now, it's unfortunate, in my opinion, that we read that mainly during funerals. Because at the very end, the psalm describes all the days of my life. Right? So this isn't a description of what God's going to do for you at your death. It's a description of what God wants to do for you all the days of your life. Every day he wants to do these wonderful things for you. And I thought, you know what? Let's read it together, but I got to put on my glasses. All right, let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So every day, all the days of my life, this is a description of what Jesus, as a good shepherd, wants to do for you. Right? And so green pastures, quiet waters, right paths, even dark valleys, bills that are too high, dangerous enemies. There's no situation that is beyond the skill of the good shepherd to deal with in your life. Nothing's beyond him. His heart is connected to ours. His very life is connected to ours. He's not going to turn and run. He's paid too great a price for you to watch you fail. He is all about your success. And so this is what he wants to do all of the days of your life. And if you will stay close to him, and if you'll hear his voice when he calls you forward, and you will follow him and listen to his voice, at the end of the day, he leads us back to that sheep pen, and we come in under us, and he examines us, and he anoints our head with oil if that's what we need. He gives us a cup that overflows. He prepares a dinner for us in the presence of our enemies. We're in the safe pen, and there's wolves, and there's thieves, and there's robbers all around us, but he's got us under his watch, and he becomes this caring physician and this loving protector, and he gives us peaceful, carefree rest. And then we go out in the morning and do it all over again. And the good shepherd's watching over us because he cares for us. He loves us. Last point I want to make is that he gathers his sheep. Pretty early in Jesus' ministry, Jesus was sending out the 12 and he gave them instructions as they were going out. And he said, don't take a bag and don't take extra money and all of this kind of stuff. And then he says, don't take the road leading to other nations and don't enter any Samaritan town. Instead, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, I mentioned that this is the flock Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 10. The false shepherds were the Pharisees and the Sadducees that weren't leading the flock well. And so the good shepherd's coming in to take that flock, God's flock, Ezekiel 34, God's flock, and he's going to now lead the flock. But he makes an awesome statement in verse 16 where he makes it clear that this flock was no longer just Jews, but also open to Gentiles. Verse 16, but I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Some Gentile in here should say amen. Somebody that's eating hot dogs tonight should say amen. It's beautiful. His flock is now open to all of us. At Pentecost, at the beginning of the church, that very moment, the church began receiving Jew and Gentile alike. Anyone who, by faith in Jesus Christ, would enter the sheepfold by Jesus. If you won't climb in the back, but you'll go in by Jesus, then you're welcome to be a part of God's flock. You're welcome to move in under the care of the good shepherd. That all of these promises now belong to us. And Jesus tells us why. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. one flock and one shepherd, one building with one foundation, one body with one head. It was God's plan, Ephesians 1:10, to put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. He's brought everything together under Jesus. The unity of the church is not something that we have to create. It's something that's already been done for us. The unity of the church is something that we have to recognize of what God is doing and what God has done. We're not divided. We're one. Paul says it this way, For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And so God has paid a tremendous price to bring us into one flock that he's created. And it's true on a large scale across the world. The unity of the church here in America and in underground in Iraq and in China and in Africa. So there's unity among the church around the world, but it's also true on a smaller scale here on in our little flock. What God's doing here on Milam Road. You think for a minute of how God's brought us all together. We have different backgrounds. We're from different places. We have different spiritual gifts. We have different talents. We have different abilities. And God brought us together for one purpose, to make his name known to the ends of the earth. Because he loves us and he loves this world. And so he wants not only to make his name known in us and his kingdom expand in us, but as we go out from this place to see his name pronounced great and his kingdom expand in the world. That this place would be full tonight of little kids who know that there is someone who loves them. In this scary world, that there are people that love them, and that there's a God in heaven who will never leave them or forsake him if they will come to know him. And so that's why we say around here, our goal is to grow and go together. We come in here and we study and we grow and then we head out and tell everybody about our shepherd. Paul says it this way, brothers, consider your calling. Not many are wise from a human perspective, not many powerful, and not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen the world's foolish things to shame the wise, and God's chosen the world's weak things to shame the strong. God has chosen the world's insignificant and despised things, the things viewed as nothing, so that he might bring to nothing the things that are viewed as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. That's a challenging verse to read. It's funny. You laughed because you get it. It's funny. So I'm going to paraphrase it today in along the lines of this message related to sheep. Dear friends, think about this. God in his mercy has called each one of us. And there's nothing special about any of us. We're just sheep. We're astray. We're lost. We're harried by wolves. A lot of us have been wounded by bad shepherds. We've been largely overlooked by the world. Who cares about sheep? We're viewed as nothing. But the good shepherd saw us, and he found us. And he's brought us into his flock. And that flock now has expanded around the globe. And that flock has changed the course of history. And that flock is making a difference today. But it's not our doing. It's because we follow the good shepherd. So I hope today that it wasn't too much of an ego burst to be reminded that you and I are sheep. I know you want to be a lion, but we're really more like sheep. We're fragile, we're skittish, we're defenseless, we're not too bright. And most of all, we need a shepherd to lead us. So the difference between the world out there and the church is not that they aren't sheep and we are. The difference is they're just as much sheep as we're sheep. We've just recognized the fact. They're sheep in denial. We're all looking for someone to follow. We're all looking for something to follow. We're all looking for something to lead us. Just look at our nation. We're just harried by wolves and thieves and robbers. It's a scary place to be. And nobody knows where to go. And nobody knows a solution. And I'm telling you this morning, don't follow a man. Don't follow a movement. Don't follow a party. Don't listen to conventional wisdom. And don't follow your heart. Don't follow your dreams. Don't follow your bliss. I don't even know what that means. Don't follow your passions. Don't follow your instincts. Don't follow the money. Don't follow the yellow brick road. Follow a shepherd. But make sure it's a good one. Because there are some bad ones out there. They're leading from behind, and it may be the butcher. So how do you know? Well, the good shepherd's going to know you by name. The good shepherd's going to love you to the point of sacrificing himself for your behalf. The good shepherd is the one who you will trust to follow, and he will not manipulate you or use you. He's the one that will heal you. He's the one that will know what you need, and he'll know how to get you there. The good shepherd, that's Jesus. And so this week, I'm praying that the Lord brings into your path another sheep, not of this fold, that is lost and bewildered and is looking for someone to follow. And I pray in Jesus' name that you will have the courage to tell them about the good shepherd you found. And invite them to join the flock, because there's plenty of room in here. So I'm going to ask you to stand up. We're going to sing a song and by way of conclusion, and I'll come back up here and pray over us as we leave. But I want to encourage you two things. Number one, if you've never joined the flock, if you've never given your life to Jesus, then you do that today. That you can hear his voice calling you. My sheep hear my voice and they follow. You can hear him come up. And you can just kneel here and make that decision this morning. Second thing is, if you belong to this sheepfold of Jesus, but you're at the moment in stubborn disobedience, that you take a minute. Come to the altar if you want. Do it at your seat if you want. You take a minute. You would repent. Ask God to forgive you for being stubborn. And then make a decision right there in prayer that you're going to change your ways and you're going to follow. Amen? All right, let's sing together. Thank you, Jesus, for the price that you paid to bring us into your flock. That your blood that was spilled on the cross purchased us. The Father's given us to you. And so, Lord, we want to be good sheep. Lord, so give us, as the word came forward today, give us ears to hear when you call us. And give us quick obedience to respond. Help us to recognize, Lord, that when you call us and you lead us, it's for our own good. And that to go our own way is to go astray. Lord, forgive us. When we're stubborn, forgive us when we're disobedient. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget to be thankful for the goodness that you provide us each and every day. And so, Lord, we're grateful today to find out that you care for us. In a world that is scary as ours is, to know that we have you is just so encouraging to the heart. It enlightens our soul. And Lord, there are others out there that are harried by this world and worried and agitated and anxious. And we have an answer for them. And I can't fix all the world's problems, but we can help one sheep. And so, Lord, from one sheep to another, help us lead others to you, the Good Shepherd. Lord, we pray for tonight, that this place would be filled with happy kids. Lord, we pray against anybody getting hurt or any people with bad intentions, Lord. that you would bless this time today and that many would come to know of your love for them. Thank you for all the people that have helped put this together. I ask for your blessings on them as well. Give us, we pray, Lord, a good harvest tonight. Lord, we're grateful for your love and your care for us and what that meant to you to be able to provide that for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to have prayer ministry team up here, and we would love to pray with you. If there's anything going on in your life, you need prayer, or you need to talk, you need a hug, give us a chance to do that. We're going to be moving some chairs. Guys, if you can stick around and help, we sure could use your help. Hopefully we'll see you tonight, 5:30 to 8. We'd love to have you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace as you go. Have a fantastic day.